Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, welcome to Steel Wars. I am comedian Steel Saunders and I do love Star Wars. Please enjoy this classic clip, which is available in full at patreon.com/Steel Wars.
Let's talk favorite scenes.
Ooh.
Oh. Oh my gosh. I mean, there are so many iconic scenes. I love you, I know. A lot of iconic scenes between Han and Leia, which was very confusing for me as a child because I didn't particularly like Han. I liked Luke and I wanted her to end up with Luke. So that whole storyline was very confusing for me.
I can only guess how small a town it was you grew up in.
Orange County. That's Orange County. So I'm trying to think. Pass.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
I've got to think
We've never
it.
Had a pass before.
I've got to think about it. There's
so
many.
That's fine. I will start with the prequel era and say the opera house ballet scene is, you know, between Palpatine and Anakin is one of the best scenes. Not like, it's a good scene for the prequels. I like the prequels more than most people, but I think it's one of the best scenes in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And it has a lot of what I love about Star Wars, which is that tip of the iceberg storytelling we were talking about earlier, where it raises as many questions as it answers. So not only is it like a really well executed scene of, oh, this is such a believable moment of how this person would manipulate this person into doing this relatively understandable thing. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, within seconds, it becomes horrific what Anakin has chosen and done. But in that scene, it makes sense. And with just throwing out there like, well, this Darth Plagueis and some people might have the power to create life. That's that great kind of storytelling that's like, I'm glad that that's never in new canon been fully addressed, because there should be some of those things where, you know, we get together on our podcast version of the playground and talk about what does that mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's definitely very high up there.
Because I remember that scene as well. This is just like jogged the memory. Like the first time, at the opening night when he started like busting out the information, it's like, whoa,
yeah,
he's going for it. Like,
yeah.
You know, he's been watching the career with great interest, since he was like 9 or 10. And now he's finally like going, it's time.
It's
time to cash in.
And I think
listening to all that whinging over all these years.
and I think not from a Jedi is one of the best lines.
Yeah. It so drives the point home. And you're just like, okay, I mean, if the credits had rolled right there, I would have been upset. But it'd be like, I understand how Anakin fell.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that, I think, the power of it. I think for the original trilogy, it's weird for me to kind of pull back and go, like, a scene. Because the way I've been thinking about Star Wars lately is nitpicking those tiny moments and how they relate to new things. But I think the Twin Suns, and also, we talked about it on the Obsessed podcast that you did, your favorite scene, too, of Luke getting the lightsaber in Return of the Jedi. It is just so layered with moments, including that look that he gives his lightsaber, where, you know, going back to, Luke is not a grim 80s guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't pull out his machine gun and sneer. Mm-hmm. He catches his lightsaber and he has that like, hey, everything's gonna work out. Like, almost you could freeze frame that and that would have been the end of a sitcom from 1984.
Well, that's his version of that at that Olympic opening ceremony where they had to do the bow and arrow to light the flame.
Yeah.
So like when he catches it, he just goes, all right, first time.
Yeah. And
no,
it's
rehearsal.
Also, it's just like, exactly. Nobody ever told him, they told him to take it seriously to be a Jedi, to not crave adventure and excitement. Mm-hmm. He does the right Jedi stuff. He says, let me go, or I'm going to have to kill you. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever told him there was anything bad about having some fun with it.
Yeah.
You know, and he just has that moment of joy of like, I have the power to set things right, and I'm going to.
Board flip, saber catch.
Yeah.
Unite the green, clean yeah, house.
Exactly.
The greatest thing that was ever projected on a giant white wall. Yeah. It is just the best.
Yeah.
It is just the best. How about you, Ken?
You know, we break down the moments. There's a lot of moments I can talk about, but I want to talk about scenes. Like, I'll throw two Luke ones out there, and it is the Vader-Luke fight in Jedi in the moment. He decides he's going to give in a little bit to his anger, a little bit to the moment, and strikes out at Vader, and that shot of I know Empire Luke and Vader's maybe the more iconic shadows in the light, but that shot where they're moving and Luke's with the green, as you said, ignite the green. I love that phrase. He's kind of beating back Vader, and then the chorus comes in, and it's one of the first times in Star Wars that you heard, you know, voices in the
in
score.
The music, yeah.
And it just, to me, it is the turn. It is the turn of Luke to taking charge of the situation and kind of ending this and not knowing if is he going to kill his father at the time, and it leads to him throwing the saber away and I'm a Jedi like my father before me. It's that moment when he leaps out of the shadows, and it's just this epic thing. And then for me, I got to say, and we've talked about it so many times, even off air, Joseph, and it got me the other day, and I didn't even expect it. I just put in Force Awakens, was doing house chores and getting ready to leave, and the ending of the movie came up. And I got to tell you, when Rey goes to Ahch-To and she is standing before Luke and she is the one that finds him and she's the one that hands him the lightsaber, it gets me emotional. I the Star Wars nerd chills kick in, and there's something about this little scavenger girl who once believed that Luke Skywalker was a myth is the one who is standing before this man who has vanished and been gone for so long that even shortly after Jedi, he's already gone.
Yeah.
He's with Lor San Tekka grabbing relics or something. And he's just been checked out doing his own thing. And here is this little scavenger girl with the fate of the galaxy in her hand, personified by a lightsaber, standing before Luke Skywalker. It is, to me, the best ending of any Star Wars movie, because it is more different than any other ending. There's no boss nass peace orb. it's a great moment. And this caught me off guard just the other day, where I was jacket on, I gotta go this, I go to the grocery store, and the music hits, and it's one of John Williams' final song, best songs, is the Jedi steps in the finale, and it gets me every time. Good moment. Nerd chills.
It's always weird. I'd never thought about this before, but, you know, they merchandise, they do, like, the reproductions of the props and stuff. And, you know, with Phantom Menace, everything was getting made.
Yeah.
But we didn't get a life-size Peace Orb, which would have been the highlight of any collection around the world.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, even...
I would have held it above
Sand
my head.
Sweet would bail off that big figure tower
would have been
and just
so...
have the orb in the middle of Rancho Obi-Wan.
Is it too late? Can we hashtag Peace Orb?
Yeah, I don't want to see all of the sarcastic photos for people who like hate Phantom Menace and just like holding it up with this sardonic look on their face. Like, this bullshit.
Oh no.
Maybe that's what Star Wars fandom needs: the peace orb to bring
truth?
Us all together to end this civil war. Have you got a scene?
Yeah. I was thinking about. There are so many great moments, but the one that I watched and I continue to watch over and over again are the scenes with Yoda on Dagobah.
Yeah.
Because that gave me so much as a kid. You know, you must unlearn what you have learned, do or do not. The wisdoms, and that to me is like so important too for George Lucas as the creator to make this little green puppet work and have such a huge impact on fans around the world. I mean, there are such incredible scenes. And I mean, yeah, it's kind of silly when you see Luke running with this little puppet on his back. And yet that was so real for me as a kid.
I think you're confusing the word silly with awesome.
Right. I mean, he's kind of bouncing around and whatever. But I swear to you, my daughter, who's 20 months old, she is obsessed with Yoda. He taps into our most, I don't know, this primal thing within us. And that's really like the power of Star Wars.
And also, shout out to Hamill.
Do
you know what I mean? For making them real.
You. Yes. I mean, people don't give Mark Hamill a lot of credit as an actor, but what he did with those scenes. Oh man, he made it. He made that come to life.
Taking the prequels like knowing that they happened and then looking at the interaction at the start of that whole scene or, you know, that section of Empire Strikes Back where there's the torch, Yoda wants the torch, mm-hmm. R2 says, no, I want the torch. Like, they both know each other. Is this some like skit that they're doing or like
what? It's an act.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there a little wink and a nod? It's very strange.
It's one of the more intriguing things about R2. He knows everything.
He does. He does. I will believe that Yoda forgot about R2, but I feel like R2 knows Yoda for sure.
Yeah.
But that's very disrespectful to not like give the Jedi Master the torch.
Just
well,
do it.
He knows Yoda screwed up.
To hear the full episode, along with hundreds of hours of bonus content, I would invite you to check out the Steel Wars Patreon page at patreon.com/Steel Wars. For just $3 a month, you get a dedicated RSS feed that easily pastes into any podcast app you use, sending the complete archives of Steel Wars episodes along with bonus Patreon exclusives like movie commentaries, Q&As, and shows like the Making Steel Wars show, which I make exclusively for Patreon members with Jason Ward of MakingStarWars.net, where we try to find the news behind the news. Plus, you'll get the bonus segments from the call-in shows, which sometimes can be over an hour. And as well as all the bonus content, you get that warm glow that you are supporting this show you listen to each week. The idea behind Patreon is if lots of people chip in a little bit of cash, that content producers such as myself can still keep producing for you guys while still being able to feed our very cute Ewok-looking cats. There's a hungry cat involved in this, guys! As well as some sweet, sweet content. Check out all the super fun tiers and all the shows you're missing out on at patreon.com/Steel Wars. And may that force be with you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.